calling Monster Island, where today I'm not talking about Cinemassacre. I'm talking about my very first ever G-Fest experience, because I finally got to go to G-Fest this year. Woo woo!
Woo!
Yeah, so, G-Fest, everybody. If you don't know, and you've been listening to my podcast since the very early days in 2020, since this podcast was first created, G-Fest is a huge, huge thing for Godzilla fans. Basically, it's a convention that happens every year during, like, early or mid-July, and it's pretty awesome. Basically, it's a Godzilla convention put on by Godzilla fans for Godzilla fans, is the easiest way I could explain it without going super in-depth. It's a convention. There's panels, there's guests, there's overpriced figurines, but you know, whatever. So basically, I'm just going to be talking about the experience that I had from the perspective of a first-timer. I will say we got there super late, like at 5 o'clock on Friday, so we didn't have anything on Friday. We got our badges, name tags, though. Two of them didn't have the first names on them, so we just had to write in our first names. I went with two other people, so, yeah. So, G-Fest. This was interesting. So we also had to leave early, because scheduling conflicts. So we only really had Saturday, but a lot happened on Saturday. So let me break it down for you. Let me walk you through G-Fest 28. So, getting there, first of all, I feel like I should maybe not just glaze over that. Getting there, oh god, so I live in Illinois, and the convention is in Illinois, it's in Chicago, and it still took like 4 or 5 hours to get there. I met someone who was from Ohio, I believe, and they said that it took like 7 hours to get there, and I was like, that's dedication, man. I mean, 4 or 5 hours, that's still bad, but it's not terrible. 7 hours? Jeez. Now, I've been on road trips before where we had to drive for 24 hours. Like, straight, no stopping. Well, stopping, like, bathroom-wise, but not, like, hotel-wise. And the drive up was a lot longer than the drive back. I don't know if that was just the anticipation for the event that my brain was, like, manufacturing, but I was so excited. So it probably was just my brain, but the ride back wasn't very bad at all, actually. I think it was kind of the same time amount, but it wasn't nearly as mentally breaking as the ride there was. Yeah, so the ride there was crap. When we got there, when we got to the hotel, parking was like $15, and you had to go park in this giant parking garage where you basically, it was a maze, as it was described to me by the person who parked our car. It was a maze, so yeah, it was terrible. When we got up to the room, Godzilla 2014 was playing, so that was cool, you know? That was just kind of setting up the weekend. We ordered pizza at Giordano's, were from Giordano's, and they delivered to the hotel. It was good. It was really tasty. Yeah. I would definitely, try them again. Also, hey, Giordano's, if you want to sponsor me, I wouldn't be too opposed to that. Because your food is actually good. So, yeah. So we got, like, a Chicago-style pizza. That was good. I don't get Chicago-style very often. I've been to the Chicago area about once before, but I've been close to Chicago, like, two or three other times. So, I've had deep dish, like, Chicago-style before, but having it in Chicago on G-Fest, or during G-Fest, made it more special to me. Yeah. I don't know. The sauce was a bit sweet, but that's not their fault. That's just, like, every pizza's fault, so, you know. If you're not a fan of sweet sauce, then I guess, you know, still don't avoid Giordano's. Everything else is great, but, like, you know. I never have been a fan of pizza sauce, to be completely honest with you. Anyways, this is a podcast episode about G-Fest, not about pizza, alright? So, we watched the, like, last half of Godzilla 2014 and debated going to the opening ceremonies. Didn't end up going to the opening ceremonies because I really was tired, so I just didn't want to. I thought if I got a good amount of sleep that night that I could wake up bright and early for, you know, G-Fest. Woke up to my alarm, which was Feel Good Incorporated by Gorillaz. I shut it off and then immediately went back to sleep. So then woke up around 8, I want to say, and the convention hadn't opened yet, so we went to Starbucks, and Starbucks, that's when it really started to pick up, alright? So we got our stuff, and, we got our food. We had these two, I think, like, bacon, double bacon grilled sandwiches on croissants and whatever. I don't know. According to what I've heard, it's better than the food at the actual Hyatt Regency, which is where G-Fest is held. So, hey, you know, that was something, at least. So we had Starbucks food. Starbucks food, if you don't know, is about as expensive as their coffee, but it's food, so it's actual nourishment instead of their $75 coffee that they make you pay for. I also got a shot of espresso, actually two shots of espresso, so I could wake the frick up. I was so tired for no reason. I had gone to bed at a decent time, like 10 o'clock, I think, which is weird for how excited I was to go to my first G-Fest, and I only went to bed at 10 and still couldn't wake up. So, yeah. Chugged down that espresso and I was pumped up. I was ready. But the convention center, or the Hyatt Regency, still didn't open its doors for another 40 minutes at that point. So, yeah. That was cool. The other person that I was with asked if we should head over to the convention, even though it was a bit early. We could just be outside. And, someone behind us, was like, yeah, it's really early. Are you guys at G-Fest? And we were like, yeah. And she was like, hey, I am too. Me and my husband are vendors. And that led us to the first encounter of the day, where we met, sorry, I'm getting a piece of merch so I can remember their names. We met Alan Barnes, Alan O.W. Barnes, and his wife, I think her name was Kate Barnes. I'm so sorry if you're listening to this, Kate, or Miss Barnes. I don't remember your name. Sorry. They were super cool. Basically, a friend of theirs... So Alan was the illustrator for a book series called Big in Japan, which he had made with his close friend, his name's Tim. Give me one moment. I'm trying to remember his last name. Timothy Price. That's his name. He makes music, and he writes books. Like, he's super cool. So we bumped into them. We talked for almost 40 minutes, like, straight, and they were like, hey, guys, come check out the table today if you feel so inclined. And so, yeah, I'll get to that eventually, because that was really cool. Real quick, I'm gonna plug in my computer before it dies. This is, I just got a low battery alert. And I charged my laptop, last night. If we're lucky, I'll edit this out. But I don't think that's gonna happen, so, you know, moving on. Sorry, that was unprofessional. We got there about 2 or 3 minutes later after talking to Alan and his wife for a while. It was cool meeting someone who worked on, like, a project separate from Toho, and it was, like, something that interested me. Big in Japan, by the way, is a book series about rock band members who fight giant robots in a giant cowboy robot. And if that doesn't apply to any kind of niche that you follow, then unsubscribe from this podcast right now. You're not the kind of people I want listening. I'm just kidding, obviously. Am I, though? Am I? I don't know. I don't know. Only you can know that one, guys. Okay, so anyways. When we got to the convention, I keep wanting to say convention center. When we got to the hotel, we almost immediately went to the vendor's room line, because there was already a fairly decent line, and for all we realized, the doors had just opened. Or, we thought the vendor doors had just opened. It opened at 10, actually. Yeah, the vendor's doors opened at 10, so we got there an hour early, but we got a really good spot in line, so, you know, that was cool. So, basically, while we were in line, three things happened. We met the guy from Ohio that I was talking about that was really cool. Multiple people got yelled at for cutting in line and trying to go in the back door to the vendor's room. Don't really know what they were trying to do. But, dude, no one else is in the vendor room. Do you think they're gonna sell you or something? Although I do think TJ Storm was in the vendor's room, so, you know, whatever. And third thing, I met Jake DeNunzio of Daikaiju Legends fame. Oh my god! As a long-time fan of his channel and just of kaiju YouTubers, that was so cool. Like, dude, That was so cool. I have been watching both Monster Island Buddies and Daikaiju Legends probably since 2018. So, you know, I've been there through thick and thin of it, you know? That was amazing. Unfortunately, did not meet Monster Island Buddies. I think he wasn't there, because he hasn't made a Monster Island babble about his experience like he did last year. But, you know, I don't know if he was there. I didn't meet any other... Well, I met one other Godzilla YouTuber, but I didn't ask him if MIB was there, because I don't know. Like, does he know? Would he know? I'll get to that in a second, about who I'm referring to, by the way. Anyways, meeting Jake DeNunzio was awesome, and, the pictures... I'm not very photogenic, but, I made myself photogenic for that photo in particular, because I was like, hey, are you Daikaiju Legends? And he was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, hey, can we grab a picture? And he was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, awesome. He was wearing this really cool, like, button-up shirt that had all the monster sprites from the Godzilla Monster of Monsters on NES. And I wanted that shirt so bad, I looked for it when we were in the vendor's room, thinking that someone might have it. Maybe, just by off chance, he got it yesterday in the vendor's room, and I found it nowhere, and I was very sad, because it was a very nice shirt. Anyways, yeah, I met Daikaiju Legends. That was awesome. some of the other people from his channel were in line, but I didn't want to just, like, run through the line to ask other people from Daikaiju Legends if I could take pictures with them. So I just stood there, waiting. Eventually, at around 10-ish, we got into the vendor's room. Oh god, that was awesome. That was so cool. The vendor's room, just from my personal experience, it's just like literal Toys R Us for kaiju fans. They had everything ranging from Godzilla to Gamera to Ultraman to Kamen Rider. I think I even saw some Metal Hero stuff in there. And that's, like, just real off the wall. It's just... I did see some Go Ranger stuff. Other than that, I'm not really sure they had any Super Sentai-related stuff. I did see some, Toei Spider-Man figures in there. I also think I saw, a Leopardon figure. That was cool. Saw a couple giant one singular giant robo figure. That was cool. It was still in the bag too. Like, it was awesome. So first thing that I did when I got in the vendor's room is immediately headed over to Matt Frank's table. I know a lot of people, I've listened to a lot of these videos where a lot of people went to the YMSF table. So I didn't. First of all, I didn't really know where the YMSF table was. I looked at the map and I still didn't know. And I also really just didn't have the budget for YMSF figures. Nor did I care that much at all about what they were selling. Because, as far as I believe, it's, like, newer figures. I just didn't really care, so I didn't go over there. I stopped by Beast of the East, but didn't buy anything. Anyways. I went over to Matt Frank's table. Dude, Matt Frank is, like, the coolest person. I mean, I'm not trying to say that, like, anyone else that I met at G-Fest wasn't totally cool. But Matt Frank, wow, that guy is just so cool. I mean, he had this, like, awesome, like, I want to say it was like a cape, because it kind of looked like a cape. It's the way I could describe it best is like, like a cloak that someone would wear, but instead of like weird Sith Lord cloak, it's like very cool Mothra wing cloak. I don't know. It was awesome. I got The Last Hope, the Gamera prequel comic that he made, and I got it signed by him. I'm gonna hang that on my wall. I just haven't decided where yet. So, yeah. I also, he had these two little boxes that had figures, or three actually. There's a 5, a 15, and a $20 box. So I picked up two figures from the $15 box. The Bandai Ultra Monster Series Kaiser Belial figure with the cape and the scars and everything. It looks really cool. And then the Godziban Raidon figure. That was really cool. And then about two or three tables over, I found a Godzilla figure. On this Godzilla figure, this wasn't just any Godzilla figure. I had been looking for this for 2 years at this point, since it had come out. So this, let me pull it up real quick. It's a Movie Monster Series figure. Crap, Wikizilla is not working right now. It's not, like, crashed or anything, it's just, like, okay. Nope, okay. God dang it. My phone is being so weird. Sorry, this is really unscripted and weird. I'm gonna try to do some editing stuff on this, but I can't guarantee anything is gonna... Okay, anyways, enough of that gargled nonsense. I got the Burning Godzilla, Godzilla Fest Extra Edition, Shinjuku Total Advance version. So, it was a Godzilla Fest exclusive, and it was only $50. I had to pick it up. Just, like, I physically had to. There was something in my stomach, I guess. I don't know. My chest that was like, you must buy this figure. So, yeah, that was cool. In about 2 minutes of being in the vendor's room, I had already dropped $100. Nice. So... trying to remember what the next thing I bought was. I wandered around, like, aimlessly for a long time. I remember there's one table, they were selling a bunch of, like, older Bandai figures. And so I haven't done an episode on this yet, but I love Ultraman Towards the Future, the Australian Ultraman show from the 90s, the early 90s. And, there was a figure line by a figure company called DreamWorks that made, these Ultraman toys that they distributed in, like, American toy stores. So they're easier to find than the Japanese toys, but they're not necessarily, like, cheap figures. They're, like, they have decent articulation, you know? And they're a lot bigger than the Japanese figures, too, which is weird, because the Japanese figures not only have sometimes less detail, but less articulation than the American figures. So that was, you know, kind of weird. So the Monster Bogun, his Japanese figure, I really don't like, so I picked up the, American DreamWorks, Bogun figure, and I also picked up the, Garukadon figure, cause Garukadon, he's a goofy boy. So, later, at another table, I picked up a, Ultraman Great and Ultraman Jonius, Spark doll. I think they're called the, Ultra EX series or something. They were really cool, actually. The people running the vendor table, they were really cool. This one guy was at the table, and he was like, "Hey, do you know what show this is from?" To the guy who was running the table, and the guy who was running the table, and he was like, "I think that's either Dinah or Gaia, I'm not sure." And I was like, real quick, that's from Gaia. I'm a big Gaia fan, so I know most of the monster lineup from Gaia. And they were like, "Wow, you're cool." And I was like, "Wow, thank you." And, the guy was like, "Do you know what monster this is?" And I was like, "That's a Gonkyu." And they were like, "Thank you, kind gentleman." And, I was like, "You're welcome, kind sirs." So, yeah. Those guys were really cool. most of the people I met at the convention, all of the people that I personally met at the convention were really cool. There was some people that, the other people I was with apparently met, and, they sucked, but, you know, whatever. I didn't meet them, so... I wish for the life of me I could remember the name of that table, but I can't. I don't remember the name of most of these tables, because I'm not sure most of them had a name. We left for about 30 minutes to, drop off the first batch of figures that I had gotten. I also got a Mephiles figure, a Shin Ultraman, Mephiles figure. And that was all the figures I got. I wanted to save some money for some other stuff at the convention. So we dropped off the stuff, we chilled out for about 30 minutes, and we went back to the convention. And, we went into the vendor's room one more time just so we could see, because we couldn't find Alan's table. We ended up finding Alan's table and meeting Tim for the first time. That was really cool. And so we got a ton of stuff there. We got the first two issues of Big in Japan. We got this book called The Crow Chronicles that Alan is working on. We got this CD called The Silver Scream Spook Show that both Tim and Alan worked on. And I'm trying to find my stupid... I'm trying to find my stupid, CD player, so I can... I just dropped the CD, yay! I'm trying to find my stupid CD player so I can actually listen to this CD, but, you know, that, I haven't been so lucky, so, yeah. This looks, interesting, to say the least. I'm very excited to listen to this. So yeah, Tim also told me about his YouTube channel where he posts music content sometimes, so yeah, I might as well give him a shout out. That's called Timothy Mark Price. Just look him up. He has some music stuff which doesn't even really relate to Godzilla, it's just like music, so yeah, check him out. He's much smaller of a creator than, say, Daikaiju Legends or Matt Frank. So, you know, give him a watch. You know. So we hopped out of the vendor's room for the final time and walked around the convention for a little bit. We ended up going downstairs. Actually, you know what? We didn't go downstairs yet. What we did, though, is we went to Ballroom B to go to TJ Storm's panel. TJ Storm is the motion capture artist for Godzilla in Godzilla 2014 and Godzilla King of the Monsters. He was also the assassin predator in the god-awful 2018 The Predator movie, and pretty much the only good part about that movie is his performance and the guy in the suit's performance. So, yeah. The guy in the Predator suit of, like, the regular Predator. Anyways. So, after TJ's panel, we went down to the autograph room, and I met TJ Storm. That was really cool. Hey, that's pretty nice. So we met TJ Storm. I got him to sign a Godzilla King of the Monsters poster. And since it was my, I told him it was my first G-Fest. And so he wrote first G-Fest together on the thing. And he signed my name in Godzilla's Atomic Breath. God, that was... he was such a charismatic person. Like, he was so cool. Hearing him talk about his experiences playing Godzilla, it just further makes me want to become a filmmaker. He just seems like such a cool person. I had a super fun time at the panel, and I had a super fun time meeting him. Awesome, awesome person. Just, yeah. if he ever... he's coming to a convention called Super G in September. If you ever get to the... if you ever get the chance to meet him, do it. It's so cool. He is the coolest person. Unfortunately, I did not get to meet Yumiko Shaku. Her autograph tickets were unfortunately sold out. And I did not meet Linda Miller or Don Fry, because those lines were literally out the... Don Fry had left to go to his panel, and Linda Miller's line was out the door, and I no longer had any money to spend on things. So I said, you know what, guys? Deuces. And walked around the downstairs area a little bit. Found the model room. Oh my god. The model room is so cool. Yeah. Oh! I forgot to mention something. So, downstairs, when we were in the line for TJ Storm, I met Omar Saya. I'm pronouncing your last name right. So, Omar is the creator of Dragon Lizard Super Monsters, which is, if you don't know Dragon Lizard Lord Super Monsters, it's this, it was these two Godzilla short films that were filmed on VHS tape back in the 90s, called Godzilla vs. Draco and Godzilla vs. Baggin, War of the Super Monsters, and, basically, he gave both of these tapes to SRS Cinemas. SRS distributed them by calling them Dragon Lizard Lord Super Monsters and adding egregiously bad ADR over the top of them. And he was at the helm of it all. So, yeah. He apparently created those shorts when he was, like, a teenager, so... Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool. I own that movie on Blu-ray, so that was an interesting experience. Omar was super nice, too. He was, like, super chill about the whole thing, so I took a picture with him. I took a picture with Matt Frank, I took a picture with Jake DeNunzio, I took a picture with TJ Storm, and the picture with TJ Storm is the home screen on my phone.
Yeah, I loved G-Fest. I know there was some less than ideal things that went on this year, and I'm not gonna get into those, because this is supposed to be about fun times, and I really just don't have the energy to get into what happened this year. It's, yeah. So we left after that, and, went back to the hotel for a couple hours, and we decided, you know what, we'll say goodbye to G-Fest, our first ever G-Fest by checking out the costume parade. Now, the costume parade, this is genuinely something that I hated about the entire experience, and I've heard many people online, complain about this. The costume parade is arranged in such a way where there is, basically, the grand ballroom doors, and there is this place called Dojo Studios, where they show, they make and show Godzilla fan films. All the people who are dressed up in costumes were supposed to go into Dojo Studios and parade into the ballroom. But it's organized in such a way where the people who want to watch the parade have to gather in a giant crowd around this, like, 5-foot walkway. And I've heard that in the Crown O'Hare, or the Crown, yeah, the Crown O'Hare, whatever, which is where we were staying this time, there was a giant hallway with people that would line up and just take pictures of people as they were going out. We got there, they were playing Jeopardy, which is like Jeopardy with Godzilla trivia questions, and I'm gonna borrow a joke from Zaguru Dan, aka The Golden. The thing with Godzilla fans is they're like monkeys, okay? Any single time that someone says the word Godzilla, a neuron goes off in their head and they all start clapping incessantly. So you never know when the parade's gonna start, or if someone just said Godzilla is cool. I don't understand. G-Party went on for probably 20 or 30 minutes longer than it should have. The people I was with and me were just... We were tired. So we just ended up leaving, and we didn't even see the costume parade. God, we were there for like 2 hours, and we heard all this incessant babbling and clapping from the other room, while these people in these giant, hot, sweaty costumes are just standing there in the other room. It was so annoying. I don't understand why they couldn't have just fixed this somehow. And also, I want to bring up something that Matt Frank brought up. You've hosted G-Fest at this exact hotel for 2 years at this point. If it isn't better next year, that's on you, G-Fest. That's not, we got a new hotel, so we're just adjusting to things. This is your fault. This is completely your fault if you can't fix this. So, yeah, overall, it was a great time, but that one thing was just... So, yeah, G-Fest 2023. What a time to be alive. You know, it was cool. It was cool. I definitely think there were some things that could be improved, some things that could be changed, some things that overall were just kind of crap, but in the grand scheme of things, I had an amazing time and would totally go back next year. So, yeah, I might be there next year. I might not. I didn't go there as Godzilla Kid. I went there as myself, so I didn't have a t-shirt that said Calling Monster Island, or I didn't wear a mask or anything. I just went there I went there as myself, and that's what I'm gonna do next year, and any other subsequent year that I go. don't expect a big thing from me every year. This was just, since it was my first time, I wanted to, you know, tell other people who may want to go to G-Fest, hey, it's actually fun and worthwhile. I will say, though, I'm not too tethered to it just being G-Fest. If there was an alternative Godzilla convention in Chicago around the same time, or heck, even not at the same time, I would probably go to that. I don't know. Just knowing the background of the people who run G-Fest, specifically JD, I don't know. I definitely want to go next year, though, so kind of counterintuitive, but, you know, whatever. Either way, G-Fest was a really fun time this year, and, yeah. Everyone who made it happen, good on you, I guess. You brought a whole community of people. Good times. So, yeah. Good job, everybody. I'm gonna end this before my dogs have a panic attack. Because, you know, usually when I'm recording, they like to just start barking all of a sudden. So, good tidings, everybody. And be good people. Crap, I forgot which button to press.